As most of you know, we've been doing a series for the last 5 weeks on the good news of the gospel. And today I want to finish the series for you. We've been looking at the gospel from a number of different angles. And this message today is going to remind us why this upcoming Global Impact Celebration is so important to us and why our heart is to partner with people in our city and beyond. I'm going to be talking today about the partnership of the gospel. Last week I talked with you about the fact that if we've understood the gospel, if we've experienced its transformative power in our lives, then we realize that we have been given the greatest of all treasures. Along with receiving the treasure, we've been given a great responsibility as well. The heart of God is that we would share the gospel with those who are around us, or that we would shine out the light that He has shone inside of our hearts. As God spoke at the beginning of creation and brought light into the darkness, He has shone His light into the darkness of our lives and filled the void inside of us. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." Many of you have experienced this light that leads to life. And because of that, you have this light shining inside of you, but God doesn't want you to keep it to yourselves. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he said, "You are now the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." And so we can clearly see that Jesus is saying, because my light is in you, do not hold back. Live your life with the light switch turned on. That's what we were talking about last week. We saw that we had a personal responsibility to live our lives in such a way that we shine wherever we go and in whatever we do. Today I want to talk about another aspect of this. Not only do we have a personal responsibility, but we also have a corporate or a collective responsibility. As followers of Christ, we are a part of something that is so much bigger than just ourselves. We have a personal part to play in the mission of Jesus, but we are a part, we see ourselves as part of a global vision or a global mission, a global mandate. We are a part of the kingdom of God. And so we join forces with all the other followers of Jesus Christ to see his kingdom expand, to see his gospel preached to every corner of the globe. As we join forces, as we build these kingdom partnerships, we can multiply our efforts and we can do more together than we could ever do alone. In fact, it was always God's heart for us to have community with one another and work together to see the fulfillment of this mission. As we're going to see, Jesus himself relied on partnerships to do his mission. And as we look at the church in Acts and as we read through the letters of Paul, we see that it was through partnerships that the work of the Lord was accomplished. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul begins his letter by writing these words. He says in verse 3, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the time you first heard it until now." And so Paul begins by talking about his partnership with the Philippian church. And as we read through the letter, we can see that this partnership involved three things. And this morning I want to look at these three things because they show us, to me, what kingdom partnership is all about, what it should look like. And they're the basis for why we have this global focus ministry here in our church. And it's the basis for what this upcoming Global Impact Celebration is all about. The first aspect of partnership we see illustrated is that it had meaningful relationship. I love the words that Paul uses in the verses we just read in his letter to the Philippians. He says, every time I think of you, I thank God. I give thanks to God. And so it's obvious right from the beginning of the letter, the kind of relationship and how close this relationship was that Paul had with this church. This was not a distant connection, but a relationship that had been fostered, a relationship that had grown over time. Paul had helped plant this church on one of his missionary journeys, and the relationship had grown from there. This church had experienced the light that leads to life through the ministry of Paul. They had received this great treasure. Paul had brought the gospel to them, and they recognized now that they had been given a responsibility, as we've been talking about, to be a part of bringing the gospel to others. Paul says that they had been his partners in spreading the good news from the time they had first heard about it. They had received it, but also had understood we've got a responsibility to share it. Paul's writing this letter to the Philippians from a jail cell, but he clearly thinks of them often, and when he thinks of them, it brings a smile to his face. He says, every time I think of you, I think of you with joy. Joy comes to me. Their partnership was so meaningful and so rich that he couldn't help but thank God every time he thought of them. He goes on to describe how he's praying for all of them with great joy. And so we see that he's thinking about them. He's praying about for them. He's genuinely concerned for them. And as this letter continues, as you read through it, there's more and more information comes out that just reveals how close they were. Church, I want you to understand this morning, this wasn't just a business relationship that Paul had with this church. There was real intimacy between them. There was a level of vulnerability and concern that only exists between real friends. And because they were a true partnership, because there was a true partnership, there was a giving and a receiving aspect from both sides, from both parties. They mutually strengthened and encouraged one another. They learned from each other. They prayed for each other. They met each other's needs. Paul says in verse 7, you have a special place in my heart. In verse 8, he says, God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. And as you read on, you see that Paul really wants them to know the details of what's happening in his life. He gives them a report of what's going on. Verse 12, he says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence, and they boldly speak God's message without fear. And so Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians because he wants them to know what's going on. He wants them to know that even though he's in prison, the mission continues. He's still preaching the gospel. He wants them to know that there's great things that are still happening. God is still at work. In fact, other believers are now gaining boldness because of my courage. He's sharing the stories with them. He says in verse 25, I'm convinced I'm going to remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he's doing through me. And so we see that Paul was planning to come and see them again. When the Lord delivered him, he wanted to do it to help them grow and even increase their faith as they saw what God was doing through his life. The whole letter has this tone to it. And what I want you to notice this morning is how connected they were, how important it was that they were together and that they knew what was going on in each other's lives. Later in the letter, we read that the Philippian church sent a man by the name of Epaphroditus to be with Paul, to help him, to strengthen him. Actually, they sent financial gifts with him. Many scholars believe that Epaphroditus was probably an elder in the church in Philippi. Paul writes to the Philippians later in this book, and he says, meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, a co-worker, a fellow soldier. He was your messenger to help me in my time of need. But I'm sending him back to you because he's been longing to see you. And he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died, but God had mercy on him and also on me so that I wouldn't have one sorrow after another. So I'm all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you'll be glad to see him. And then I won't be so worried about you. Welcome him in the Lord's love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve, for he risked his life for the work of Christ. He was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do because you were so far away. I just love how Paul talks about this guy. He says he's a brother. He's a co-worker. He's a fellow soldier. Paul describes that he loved him so much that he says, God spared his life because I couldn't have had another sorrow to me. He honors him. He tells the Philippians, this guy you sent me, Epaphroditus, he did awesome. He was such a strength to me. He almost died doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. Honor this guy. Church, when I read this, I think to myself, this is what kingdom partnership looks like. This is what we're after here at Harvest City Church. This is why we have Global Focus. This is why we have the partners that we do. Partners that are both local, national, and international that we partner with. These are not people that just have a picture on the wall in our foyer. These aren't people that no one really knows about or really sees and hears about. We're not interested in that. Our whole goal right from the beginning when we started Global Focus, I believe 14 years ago, was to develop real relationships. Real relationships require investment. We invest in them, they invest in us. They share their burdens with us, we share ours with them. We bless them, they bless us. In pre-COVID times, we always brought all our partners together in Regina for the Global Impact Celebration. And we spent 4 days really together. And some, you know, to do this, to fly them all in from all over the world and put on the kind of celebration that we put on, you know, would cost us between $25,000 and $30,000 just to do it. And sometimes people would ask, well, wouldn't it be best just do we really need to bring them all here? You know, maybe wouldn't it be better just to give them the money? No, it wouldn't. You see, every year our partners come and it's a party. We share the stories of what God is doing. We inspire each other. We encourage each other. We build each other's faith. Our partners would tell us that the Global Focus Weekend was the most important weekend on their calendar. So many times they would say to us, it was coming to Regina and being a part of the church and hearing and getting the prayers and talking to the people and receiving those encouragement and just seeing that you were behind us gave us the strength to do another year, to keep going. And our people would tell us in return, this weekend inspired me, this weekend provoked me, this weekend was life-giving to me. We needed that time together. We, of course, when they come, we prophesy over them. We bless them with gifts. We rejoice in their victories. We listen to their struggles. And through it all, we enrich one another's lives. And you know that we normally do everything we can to have an opportunity for you to connect with them. And this year it's going to be a little bit different, but we're still trying to have these aspects of relationship connecting with our partners. We still want it to be that iron sharpening iron kind of time because it's so enriching for them and for us as a church. You know, this past week I was on a very special Zoom call with my father, with Ian Bird, who was one of our former partners, who now is the leader of LifeLinks. And we were on the call with one of our ministry partners, PB Thomas. It's through PB that we do our ministry into India. Not only was PB on the call, but so was Rachel John and her husband John, who are again partners in India. They work with some of the poorest of the poor in the tribal areas of India. And on top of that, there was about 10 to 15 Indian pastors that were on the call. These are all individuals that I know, that my dad knows, and Anatoly knows, because we've been there and sharing in their conferences. It was so great to see their faces. These guys that even when I was there a year and a half ago, I prayed with and talked with and prophesied over and just got to know them personally. And so the reason for the call is, you know, that things aren't going well in India because of COVID. And so we're hearing the stories on the news, but we wanted to actually talk to the people that we know on the ground. And we spent probably an hour, hour and a half on this Zoom call with them. I thought, this is amazing. We have pastors, LifeLinks pastors from all over India, and here we are talking. Tell us your stories. Tell us what's going on. I want to tell you that I was in tears. It's tragic what's taking place. It's tragic. Every one of these people, every one of these pastors has lost members in their congregation to COVID. Every one of them oversee multiple churches. And several of these churches, every one of them has pastor friends who have died. Everyone. And they're grieving. One pastor, he has COVID himself. He didn't look so well, but he was on the call and explaining what's happening. And he just said, my heart is broken. My heart is broken. They're telling the stories. One guy said, in my city, 7,000 people a minute are testing positive for COVID. He said, we feel the numbers that are being reported are about 25% of what is actually happening. Telling stories of pastor friends who were driving around in an ambulance, couldn't get a bed, dropped off at the hospital on the sidewalk with stray dogs licking at them as they died there. Real stories from people that I know personally. Tell you, it did something to me. There's a face to it. When we prayed together on the phone, you pray with passion. God help them. They're saying, pray for us. Pray for us. We need a revival in our land. They're saying, God, use this time to shake India for the gospel. I was so inspired by that. They said to me, you have no idea how much this call means to us, to know that we have that you're praying for us, that you're standing with us. You know, after the call, as a church, because of Global Focus, we contacted PB and said, we're sending $10,000 more to you. They're going to use it to help pay medical bills and even some of the widows that have lost their husbands who are pastors in their network, to help those widows, their children. We're going to help with that. We got another church in LifeLinks that contacted us this week and said, can we give $10,000? There's another church that contacted, can we funnel money through you to India? Partnership. Real relationship. Rachel has been contacting my mom almost every day for strength and comfort, encouragement. I couldn't help but thank God for the privilege of partnering with such faithful men and women of God that we know. Church, this Global Impact Celebration is going to be different because of COVID, but it's going to be good. Jenny and her team have been doing a lot of work to make this a really great celebration. You're going to be blessed by it. I want to encourage you as a church to push through. I know the weather's getting warmer and, you know, it's not, for most of you, you're not going to be able to attend in person, but you're going to miss out if you don't tune in. You need to hear what's going on. You need to be there. to participate to the best of your ability. I want to tell you that the attendance at these events, even though it's going to be mainly online, will strengthen our partners. You will inspire them to know that you're behind them, and you'll be inspired in return. We're going to still do our best to make it interactive. Saturday, we are doing things in the morning so that we can have all our partners live through Zoom, and different life groups are going to be hosting them. If you're not in a life group, you can still take part, and we'll tell you how you can do that. But it'll be an opportunity to talk, literally, physically, pray for those, you know, as they're on the screen, hear from them live in the flesh. People from India and Africa and the different places, Asia, that we partner with, as well as our local partners. Sheldon and Candace from Newfoundland. Saturday night, we have a live interview and discussion with our new partners in Spokane, Moses and Cindy Latella. You're going to love hearing what God is doing there. Tune in, comment, ask questions. Come hear what God's doing. Come get to know them. To me, this is what has made Global Focus so special. We aren't just raising money. We're forging partnerships and building real relationships. I love the fact that we have people in this church that go out regularly on the bus, on the Love Lives bus ministry. Love Lives Here bus ministry. We have people that volunteer regularly with City Kids in the core of our city. We have others that help Glenn and Julie Povey. We send teams all over the world to work together as best we can with our partners from around the world. We work and we serve together in real relationship. The second aspect of kingdom partnership is one I've already alluded to, but it's prayer. Kingdom partnerships have meaningful relationships, but they also pray for one another. The more you know someone, the more fervent you pray. You know, I was saying, different times in prayer, oh God, have mercy on India. But since my call on Wednesday, I'm praying passionately for India. I'm praying passionately for Rachel John. The more you know someone, the more fervent you pray. It's that personal connection that provides the burden and a motivation in a way nothing else can. Many of you in this church are on the prayer lists of our partners. It's one of the key aspects of the Global Focus Weekend. We encourage you to get on those lists, to pray for our partners regularly. Some of you have developed such close relationships on your own that they are personally contacting you for prayer. Without prayer, nothing can be accomplished. It's prayer that opens the door for the gospel. It is prayer that releases courage and anointing to the preacher. It's prayer that brings the breakthrough. And Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 1, "For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance." As you pray for me, church, God's going to deliver me. Because they were partners, they prayed for one another, and they fought a war in the Spirit that brought the breakthrough. Paul, in his letter to the Roman believers, who were also his partners, he said these words to them, "Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and relax in your company." Notice the phrase, "strive together with me in your prayers." That word "strive" comes from a root word which means to struggle or fight. We get our English word "agonize" from the same word. This was not some little, "and now I lay me down to sleep" kind of prayer that Paul was asking for them. He was saying, "No, go to war with me, agonize with me, fight with me." To fight with him against the principalities and powers in high places that he talks about in Ephesians. Prayer would rescue him. Prayer would allow him to fulfill the will of God for his life and even allow him to come to them. In Ephesians 6, he asked his Ephesian partners to pray for him. He says, and pray for me too, and ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. To his Corinthian partners, he said, and you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. Church kingdom partnership has meaningful relationships which produce fervent prayer as we wrestle together to see his kingdom come and his will be done. Without the power of prayer, our partners will be ineffective in what God has called them to do. And so I want to challenge you. Will you be ones that will stand in prayer with those that God has called us to partner with? And finally, the last aspect of kingdom partnership is financial support. At the end of Paul's letter to the Philippians, he talks to about the support that the Philippian church had given him. And remember, it was Epaphroditus who had brought the support. He says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. He's talking about this specific time. Not that I would. I love this sort of detour in the middle. He says, "I know you've been concerned for me. You didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Paul was saying, whether I got a lot or a little, I've learned how to push through. God always gives me the strength. So even though you didn't have a chance to help me, I was okay. I can make it through. But then he goes, even so, you've done well to share with me in my present difficulty. Even though I can get through, thanks a lot. It actually means a lot, is basically what he's saying. It helps. He says, even so, you've done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. So this church just continues to help Paul, support him financially. He says, I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more! Exclamation point. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. And then he says, they are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. He knew that it cost them to support him. And he said, and it has been a sacrifice, and that sacrifice has reached the nostrils of heaven, of God in heaven. And then he says, and this same God who takes care of me is going to take care of you. He's going to supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And so we can see here, it's very obvious from these words that the Philippians had supported Paul financially right from the beginning, on more than one occasion. They were concerned about Paul in prison, and finally they sent Epaphroditus to bring this gift, and it was clearly a generous gift because Paul says, I have more than enough. And Paul is so blessed by their generosity. He says, you've blessed God, you've blessed me, and now God is going to bless you. And he basically speaks blessing over them. God's going to supply your needs. Church, if we believe that God has given us a responsibility to preach the gospel, then we must also believe that he's given us a responsibility to give financially towards that end. The gospel cannot be preached around the world without resources given. Paul was able to do what he did because of partners like the Philippians. Our partners can do so much more because of the resources we can supply. Even Jesus needed partners to do what he did. In Luke chapter 8, it says, "And after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means." You say, how did Jesus and his disciples, you know, traveling around, preaching the good news, how did they survive? They had some partners, some women, who were helping them out of their own resources. And we can see here again that as light had shone into the darkness, I mean, these women, and particularly we were told about Mary Magdalene, that she had, that Jesus had delivered her from 7 demons. The light had shone in the darkness. She had experienced the light that leads to life, and it gave her a responsibility. I want others to have the same experience. I'm going to do whatever I can to contribute. She felt a responsibility. The gospel needed to be preached, and those who were doing it needed the resources in order to make it happen. Church, over the course of the weekend, you're going to hear about what our generosity has resulted in. Over the past 14 years, we have raised almost $3.3 million. Every dollar's gone out from Harvest City. There have been many lives changed as a result. And we have a goal to raise another $225,000 again this year. Will you help us to do that? You can already get started. If you go to harvestconnect.ca, click on the GIC link there, it'll take you right to the page where you can make your commitment and even give. Because we don't have so many who can come on Sunday, we're going to be collecting the offering over the weekend. We'll be updating you sort of each day. Here's how much we've raised so far over the weekend. I believe we'll hit the goal and then some. We've always hit our targets and then some. So to conclude, church, God has brought us some great people to partner with. Great people. Amazing people. And it's so important for us to fulfill the commandment and mission that Jesus has given us to bring the gospel and his light to those who need to hear it. We are committed to forge the kind of partners that produce great fruit and see the kingdom of God advance. And so I want to ask you again to make this weekend a priority. You know, one of the things, because now we stream all our services, every service this weekend will be streamed. So even if you're busy on Thursday night, you can go back and watch it. I'm hoping we will have more people be able to participate this year than ever before, even though we'll have less people in the building. But can you make an investment in the lives of these men and women? I want to challenge you. Come hear their hearts. Come be inspired by them. Come be built up in your faith. But I also want you to come and pick up a burden. I want you to come to give support and encouragement. I want you to come and get a heart to pray. I want you to come and give financially to the ministries that our partners involved in. Because together, which is our theme, we can accomplish great things. That's the partnership of the gospel. Would you bow your heads and pray with me as I close this morning? Father, I thank you for every one of our partners. Lord, I just feel like every one of these partners have been like divine connections. They've come to us in different ways. And God, we recognize that every one of these partners are living lives that are sold out for you. They're doing the stuff. And God, we consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to partner with men and women such as these. And God, we pray that you would help us even this weekend to strengthen these relationships. God, this has been a difficult year for all of us. It's been a tough time to have meaningful relationships. But God, I pray that even this weekend, through Zoom and some of these technologies that we have, I pray that there would be something powerful that happens, that once again, we would grow deeper in our commitment to one another. God, I pray that we would be inspired. I pray that fresh vision would come. I pray that a spirit of generosity would come upon us as a church. And God, I pray that we'd even be able to breathe life into these partners. Give them strength. God, I pray particularly for our brothers and sisters in India this morning. God, have mercy on this continent, on this nation, on this country. Have mercy, my God. Father, would you deliver them from this deadly plague, from this peril? And God, would you use it actually for the furtherment of the gospel? God, would you use it to open people's hearts to the true and living God? And so, God, we pray for every one of these pastors. Give them courage, give them strength, give them energy. God, I know they're exhausted. They've lost people in their own families. They're concerned about their own health. And on top of that, they feel the concern of their churches and their networks and trying to comfort and strengthen one another. God, it's exhausting for them. But God, you have supernatural grace and strength. Would you pour it out upon them in abundance? And Father, I pray that even as we funnel resources, God, I pray that those resources would go to the people that need it the most. And Lord, even financially, Lord, as they get it, I pray that they would know there is a church in Canada that's behind them, that's praying for them, and that would give them courage and strength. Father, we thank you for all that's been accomplished over these last 14 years. And God, we pray that you would multiply our efforts over the next 14. That we've been able to do up to now would pale in comparison to what we would do in the coming years. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.